Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. We talk real sports here on the show, and then the other half of the group just talks about life in his fantasy camp.
Who's that?
Your life is a fantasy camp.
Now that is not an exaggeration.
Our number, 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilscher's General Store. Go to www.hilscherstore.com. Hilscher's General Store, time to get the outdoor materials, including the seeds. Time to go over and get the rakes and everything else you need, all at Hilscher's General Store. Being gorgeous out today. And, of course, we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, where the windows are open today. You know, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. You don't mind if I get the extremely important sponsor. I think Tom would appreciate it.
Feel free.
I believe Tom would appreciate it.
He might.
I really do. Yeah. No, might? No. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kevin Herr now continues.
I was just going to mention when you were talking about, you know, getting the rakes and stuff with it being a nice day. While you're getting the rakes and stuff, you can pick up some picnic supplies, too, like the food.
Lots of great picnic supplies. But, of course, I looked,
food ideas.
I looked at Saturday. Jack and I are going to be going to a little scrimmage on Saturday. It's going to be 38, 39 degrees when it starts.
Yeah, you picked the wrong day.
Couldn't have been like this, you know. We're out there in short sleeves just enjoying ourselves. Yeah, can't do that.
I'm a little concerned. Saturday's first day of trout, and it's going to be a little chilly for that. I hate chilly fishing.
It is going to be very chilly. It's going to be 34, 35 degrees Saturday morning, right around 6 when everybody starts.
I mean, you get out there at 6 o'clock. I mean, there's only so much you can do to stay warm, you know, and making breakfast between 6 and 8.
Absolutely.
And 8 o'clock isn't going to be that much warmer than 6 when you're in the shade of a creek.
Right, I understand. I'd say Jack and I don't fish. We're going to go to a football scrimmage on Saturday. So we're going to do that. And that way when the blue-white game comes up, we're set to go. Of course, you enjoy the fact that like 3 seconds before we're on the air, we're talking about something else and then start. You hate that.
Neither one of you needs to see a scrimmage. What are you talking about?
That may be true.
Jack could watch a game without having seen the team and still have insight.
Yes, he would. There's no doubt about that.
That's not a put down either. That's a compliment.
Okay. You don't like the fact that we yak about other things and then 2 seconds before airtime we go, oh, okay, we're going to start.
Oh, no, because we're no different than that. I'm no different than that. I just think it's funny.
Well, it's going to be, so we're going to enjoy tomorrow.
Living the dream, sometimes a nightmare.
Gorgeous tomorrow, and then things change Thursday, and we'll see. But it's been a really good camp. Now, this is a very important week for Penn State football. They practiced yesterday. They put some things in. They go tomorrow, they go Friday. And then Saturday is the scrimmage. So this is the critical week. There's more done this week than will be done next week. And don't expect the playbook to be wide, wide open for the blue-white game. You might see maybe a half a page.
Is it going to be done the same way it was done last year?
Yes. Yes, and I'm not sure if the scoring is still going to be the same. I think they'll probably keep that, but it'll be offense against defense. It's just easier to keep it that way. That way you're working with units.
Actually, I kind of liked the scoring last year.
The scoring was wild.
You really had to be on your toes.
I just looked at the board and go, it's 73 to 68.
I just like hearing you say, it's 73-50, and then realizing that, wait, basketball season is over.
There are a couple of basketball games I didn't get that far. Dave in Sunbury at 1-800-795-9565.
Hi, Steve.
Dave, it's great to hear from you. How are you today?
Okay, yourself?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
What scrimmage are you going to on Saturday?
One that others can't go to.
Okay.
It's one of those private scrimmages.
Okay. I thought maybe he was advocating to throw a hen for Pitt.
No, Pitt's going Friday night at Bethel Park High School.
Oh, well, a local yokel, huh?
Yeah, Pitt is going. Well, they can't go at Heinz Field. They're going to be at Bethel Park High School on Friday night for their blue gold game.
Well, you can ask Kevin a question about NASCAR. What in the world was Tony Stewart doing running down Seals Grove last weekend?
Oh, he does that all the time.
Because he won a heat in the feature.
Yeah, he does that all the time. I mean, he loves going to small tracks and running small dirt tracks and not necessarily in your normal spots. I mean, he just loves going out of the area and out of the way and finding these vintage-style short tracks and running them.
Well, I knew he was running that because he's the owner of one of them sprint, little midgets that he runs around with. But I was just wondering,
And he does it in a smart way, really. He never really announces, there's never really a big deal. He just kind of shows up when he can show up, and then all of a sudden everybody puts him into the race. And that's the way to do it, because when you're Tony Stewart, it's not going to be real easy to focus on racing a short track race when you just all of a sudden pop up in Sealands Grove.
And hey, Steve.
Yes, Dave.
His take home was $3,000. That was for winning the thing.
You know what, but this is a guy who loves racing, he loves promoting racing, and that's what it comes down to. And I give him a lot of credit because it must mean everything to the people in Sealand Grove that he shows up. Just like it was big at Stafford Motor Speedway, which Jack Arute's family owns up in Connecticut. You know, Jeff Bodine would show up. I mean, it means a lot to the small tracks when the big names do not forget their roots.
That's true.
And I don't know if there's many of them that are left that are like that anymore. I mean, that's my big problem with NASCAR. I think they've forgotten where their roots are, and I think they've forgotten the fan base, and I think they started to alienate some of the fan base, and I think that's why you're not seeing the sellouts that you saw in past years.
No, I said, I'll hang up and listen, but I just wonder, and you explain that thing about, more like a private showing.
Well, for example, they're practicing tomorrow. It's a closed practice.
Well, I mean, working for them, it has its perks, right?
Always does. It always does. I'm Dave. Believe me, I'm very, very fortunate, and I'm glad they're they want to keep us around, and I like it. So,
Dave, Steve hasn't bought any apparel in 20 years. Okay.
Yeah, well, he's not like the guy overnight that. He was using every, he goes around and buys, he's like a 3X and he's trying to get into a small. They make a big running joke about that guy.
I can relate.
Very true. I do not buy apparel I saw Kevin in his Polamalu jersey and I said, wow, you're out of shape. And it was like, I said, oh my goodness, that's not Troy Polamalu.
If I would have put the wig on, you wouldn't have known.
Well, if it was in here, it would be a dead giveaway.
Hey, Kevin was walking around with his Troy Polamalu jersey with a bottle of Head and Shoulders. I thought, what's going on here?
Oh, he cut his hair.
Oh, my goodness. Dave, thank you. Our number 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. We'll continue more with SJS on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Your friends and neighbors are smiling after their single-visit dental restorations by Dr. Carl Jenkins.
I was at a dinner party eating some fruit, and I thought, darn, I didn't know pineapple had seeds in it. And then I reached back with my tongue, and I found out it wasn't a seed, but I had the Grand Canyon in the back of one of my teeth. Dr. Jenkins had some new equipment. He has a wonderful computer program that took those dimensions, made the crown, and I walked out of there with a complete crown on that tooth. Any other time I've had a crown, there are three or four trips back, and there has to be a lot of work on it. Plus the pain of having the temporary crown and everything else. Dr. Jenkins indicated to me that there would have been five separate trips to repair that tooth under the older way of doing it, plus the time in the chair. I haven't had to come back. It's been perfect, so I've been very happy.
In his 20th year of dentistry, Dr. Carl Jenkins in Watsontown. Visit us at smilesbyjenkins.com.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout. With so many great deals in bloom, you'll be thinking spring.
Like a 2009 Ford Econoline cargo van E150 with the lowest price promise. So call for a price. 888-536-8017. 2012 Ford Fiesta 5-door hatchback SE, $12,999. 2006 Lexus LS 430, $25,800. Like new 2011 Lincoln MKX four-wheel drive, $31,488. And a 2010 Ford Roush Mustang 427R, five-speed, under 10,000 miles, just $34,995.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24-7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Steve Jones, Kevin Herr with you on a gorgeous Tuesday across the valley. I think we've all earned it. Long, long winter. It just seemed like it was a winter that was not going to end. It really got cold in the middle of October. And from that point, we never had a thaw. We didn't have any warm-up. We constantly stayed between 15 and 35 degrees for months and months and months, and now we've been able to break out the last couple of days. It's been beautiful out. And Kevin is anxious to go out and play a round of golf.
Actually, I was thinking that yesterday. I said to somebody here at the studio, I said, you know, I should have brought my clubs. I could have, you know, taken lunch at the driving range.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, if you'd like a little tip when you go to the driving range, go to the one on the furthest left.
Yeah, it's the safest one for everybody. I know. Hey, but you know, you'll get a chance to see that nice slice again coming up in about a month.
Well, I was kind of hoping maybe I'd get paired with... No, I'm sorry. No.
Oh, you forgot to tell me. There's a few other people you're bringing along with you, and I wasn't one of them. I'm sorry. Oh, okay. Thanks.
Well, maybe I'll talk to Ham on Saturday, see if Ham wants to go.
Yeah, that will be... That'd be great.
That would freak you out.
Are you kidding? The first time I interviewed the man, he freaked me out.
Yeah, brother. Really?
Well, you know, I didn't expect to get a hold of him right away. It was when you guys first started working together. I got his office number, and he actually answered the phone. So after stammering for a few seconds, I explained who I was and that I'd love to interview him. And he's like, and as I'm getting this all out, he's like, what do you want? I'm like, I'm sorry. I just wanted to see if I could talk to you. I'm just kidding. I like to do that to break the ice.
I know. He does that.
I said, well, excuse me, I have to go somewhere right now.
Well, we'll get, this is a funny exchange that we'll have. He'll call me. You know, what's going on at practice? And I'll say, well, okay, this, that, and that. He says, well, okay, kind of keep it condensed. I'm working on million-dollar meals deals right now. I said, you called me. He goes, oh, that's right. I'm working on million-dollar deals right now. He says, look, I got a multinational corporation here.
I just,
and by the way, he's a very successful businessman,
yes,
by the way. But he kids me about it all the time.
Oh, but it was so weird. I mean, first off, like I said, I was flustered that I actually got him without a secretary. And it happened to be his secretary who was out that day. So he said, pardon me, I'm answering my own calls.
Terry was out. Yeah, I talked to Terry the other day. But very lucky, you know. He's really special. Dick's really special. So,
did you put in your water request for the blue white game?
My water request.
Yes, I want to make sure he gets you the right bottled water.
The right bottled water.
Yes, yes. Because and it has to be at the right temperature. I know that too.
Oh, he brings with him. It's another running joke the two of us have. He brings with him. Pamplemousse, right? Or Perrier.
I was going to say Perrier was the one I saw.
Yeah, Perrier or Pamplemousse. Pamplemousse is more of a grapefruit whatever. And, of course, he knows it has to be sugar-free for me. he says, look, I can't afford to lose you. I said, well, make it sugar-free then because you will. He says, okay. Right? Or Perrier. And then I'll say to him, I said, is it properly chilled? You know I like it at 37, 38 degrees. our one little arrogant moment where we kid around about it. I told you the story about... It's time for story time with Steve, by the way.
Now, wait, you told me the story about... And I can't answer it because I don't know yet.
It's time for story time with Steve.
Well, I know, but I mean, did you tell... Have I heard this story or not?
Jack wanting to bring food down from the top and could not.
Oh, no. This is definitely a story time with Steve moment then.
We're on the second floor of the press box. Now, to those of you looking up at the press box, it's actually the first visible floor in the bottom you can see. There's actually a first floor the fans can't see. That's a food preparation level, okay? Or at least it used to be, because they don't really prepare food there anymore to bring it in. So up on the third floor, which is where the writers are and those broadcasters covering the game, there's food. So at halftime, I have to do the first two segments of halftime. Then the third segment is when I have my 5 free minutes. Ron Moeller, for years, had Jack's pass. That's how Ron got into the game. And he sits next to Jack in the booth. So Jack didn't have a pass because he gave it to Ron. And he gives Ron his parking space, too. So we get to halftime, and Jack looks at me, and he says, hey, you want me to bring you some food back, some water? I said, well, a bottle of water would be great. He goes, hey, great, no problem. So I go back on, and I'm doing a recap of whatever. And I'm done, and I get my free time, and I go leave the booth, go in the hallway, and he's there, and he's frustrated. I said, what's wrong? He said, well, I went up to the third floor, and there always had this security guard at the food level. He says, he wouldn't let me in. I said, you're Jack Ham, for goodness sakes. He goes, he wouldn't let me in. I don't have my pass. I go, oh. And I had one of those moments where I forgot. I said, well, where's your pass? He says, Moeller's got it. I go, oh, okay. He says, well, where? Then he looks at me. He says, where's Moeller? I said, I think he's upstairs getting food. That didn't make Jack happy. He is a master. I mean, at Purdue, he went to the John Purdue Club and brought back all this shrimp and this mac and cheese with shrimp in it for Tarman, because Tarman loves mac and cheese. I'm like, wow, where'd you get all this? Oh, yeah, I was on the John Purdue Club, because he's just floating around the press box. Well, he went back at halftime to get more. This is this past year. He went back down to get more for everybody. They wanted to see who he was.
Excuse me, can I see your pass, please?
He came back. I said, so they revoked your John Purdue Club membership, huh?
I love it, though, when you have to check in at the elevator because you know everybody there, but yeah, I still need to see your pass, Mr. Jones.
I know. But rules are rules.
I know. It's just funny. It was just funny.
Rules are rules. I mean, it's after 9/11, a lot of things changed. There used to be, there's a stairwell, and there'd be so many people outside of the elevators. And Jack and I, in 2000 and beginning of 2001, we'd like, the heck with this. And then the two of us would take the stairwell all the way up to the press box, open the door, go in. So the first game after 9/11, they're playing Wisconsin. So we go, it's all loaded, the elevator, we're like, the heck with this. So we go up, 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 and all of a sudden we get to the door. Well, the door is locked. So here are the two stubborn alpha males refusing to go back down, pounding on the door. Finally, some guy let us in. But we're like, we're not going back down. Oh, no, we're not. We're up here now. They'll let us in.
Poor Tarman's sitting there going, we got to broadcast. Somebody got to get here.
We weren't leaving. Fortunately, somebody came by and let us in.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Congratulations, by the way, to Adriana Grabski of Mifflinburg. The swimmer won the national title in the 100 freestyle Saturday evening at the YMCA National Short Course Championships in Greensboro, North Carolina. Great season for her. Won PIAA state titles last month. And she was joined by fellow Sunbury YMCA teammates Emily Maxwell, Caitlin Foley, and Katie Soloki. So congratulations to them.
Yeah, that capped off a very, very stellar season.
Wonderful. And, of course, Hey, Coach Jerry Foley's done a great job with them. So we wanted to congratulate Adriana. It's great when local athletes do so well. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. Of course, last night, Louisville won college basketball's national championship. In a game that really, I think, helps the game overall. You need to get rid of hand-checking. You need to get rid of any kind of contact. Contact when you're going after rebounds, fine. Contact when you're going after loose ball, fine. Contact on a screen, fine. The block charge thing is going to change. I'm telling you, as far as I'm concerned, sit there and call 90 to 95% of them blocks, and you're going to clean that up too. Do not allow people to get away with poor defense, and it is poor defense, okay? It is poor defense, all right? When you are, when you're just jumping in the last second to stop somebody, I'm sorry, that doesn't qualify to me as good defense. And I think that has to change. And I think that when you see a game like last night that had flow, speed, movement, shooting, the ratings go up. Kevin talked about social media getting it out there. Hey, what a great game, what a great game, what a great game. It was a great game last night. And thus the ratings went up exponentially in the final half hour.
Yeah, when you have a lot of brackets will have a tiebreaker being the total points, and I can't tell you the last time I've heard somebody say, well, I made my total points like 150.
Well, it was interesting. It was the 75th Final Four, and there were 75 points in the first half.
Now, that's funny. I did not think of that.
Mm-hmm. How about that?
I did not think about that, but that's funny.
Just a bit of irony.
You know, with everything going on with the tournament and stuff, one of the things that kind of flew under the radar a little bit was one of the proposed changes in the NFL. And I know we've talked a lot about concussions here on the show, but I wanted to get your comment, Steve, on what a lot of running backs are really considering being a bad rule, and that's not leading with the crown of the helmet anymore if you're a running back and using it as a ramming rod.
In the open field.
In the open field.
This goes to 3 yards of the line of scrimmage. You can put your head down. How many times did we, except for the Trent Richardson play, how many times did we see this year?
I see it more, yeah, in the line of scrimmage, yes.
Yeah, line of scrimmage, you always see it, but out in the open field, I don't see it. I see stiff arms. I see guys going to the sideline. I may see a lowering of the shoulder and absorbing with the shoulder, but not with the head. I don't see it that often. I really don't. I think this is a much ado about nothing rule. I think this rule along, you know, look, the NFL is, people have to understand, the NFL keeps talking about safety, 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 safety. Okay? The NFL, what they're doing is that they're making sure that in the world of liability, they have rules put in place so that when someone thinks about suing them, they say, well, we have the rules and we're trying to get the rules in. There may be human error as to when it happens, but when the rule is there and the rule's been called. The NFL is doing all of this about liability. That's what this is all about.
And how much does the game change based on what comes out of the court hearing going on today regarding concussions? I mean, if this comes out bad for the NFL, how much will the NFL have to change football?
They'll appeal. But they've
Let's say they lose on appeal and everything.
But they'll already tell you they're doing it. Okay? The spearing rules, helmet-to-helmet contact rules, the crown of the helmet for a running back rule. See, they'll cite all of that of look what we've done. So they'll say we're already doing it, we're already conscientious about it, we're already taking care of the problem. That's what these rules are all about. They're not about ruining the game or changing the game or anything like that, but they're about liability. It's about lawsuits. It's about making sure you're covered. It's all right. If I'm in their position, I'm thinking the same thing.
What about Ray Rice's comments? Said, you know, he just said, I'm going to let you know right now, there's not going to be a guy that's going to be able to get a free lick on me and think it's all right. I'm going to defend my case, and I'll defend myself as a runner.
Fine. Then you can be penalized for it.
Well, that's a good way to look at it, yeah.
Okay. I mean, if he does it, he does it. And if
But does he have an argument, though, is what I mean.
No, the rule is the rule. And if he feels this is the best way to defend himself, then do it. Take the penalty and move on.
I mean, how many times have you heard coaches say, tell running backs to lower your shoulders?
Yeah, but we're talking about the crown of the helmet here, not lowering shoulders.
I understand. And that's where I think this rule might be a little bit tough for officials, because if you're getting ready to lower your shoulder as a running back to take on the hit, now you're going to have to make sure that the face mask is up, or it could be flagged even if it's close.
No.
Okay. How do you look at it if you're an official?
Well, if the helmet makes contact directly with the chest or another helmet. Right, if you lower the shoulder and you get hit and you go down just on a pure shoulder tackle, and your head's down, it doesn't matter. Yet you actually have to make contact with the crown of the helmet. I don't see that happen that often. To me, this rule is much ado about nothing. I don't recall ever seeing it.
Like I said, I've seen it an awful lot in the line of scrimmage area, yardage and stuff, but I know that's not what this rule's intended to do.
Kevin, it's a passing game now. This is not a running game anymore. It's a passing game.
That's a negative way to look at it.
But it's not a running game anymore. It's a passing game now. The percentage of running plays versus pass plays in the NFL are dramatically skewed in favor of pass plays now. The perception is almost 2 out of every 3 plays is a pass play anyway. So, again, this rule is much ado about nothing. It's a liability rule. That's all it is. And I don't see what it what it does. I mean, again, the 3 yards line of scrimmage. Okay, it's after that. Look, there are not a lot of long runs in the NFL. You do know that.
I'm aware.
I mean, the days of the long 75-yard run for a touchdown, I mean, those days are long gone.
You don't have many sprinter speed running backs anymore.
No. I mean, they take poundings and hits and so forth. I mean, yeah, I mean, there are years where sometimes the longest run from scrimmage for a team is 24 yards.
I do like the fact, though, that they eliminated the tuck rule.
Yeah, I think that's a ridiculous rule. To me, it's a fumble.
I mean, you know, and of course, everybody remembers the football game that caused all the controversy, the playoff game with New England and Oakland. But it was the right call, according to the rule.
Walt made the right call. Now, does the call make any sense?
No.
No. But did Walt Coleman make the call within the rules of the National Football League? Yes, he did. And he deserves a lot of credit for standing there and making the right call. It is the right call. Now, is it a rule I like? No. Fumble's a fumble. Gary, you're bringing it back in your butt.
And explain to me the other rule change regarding, if you remember it, I can't remember exactly how it's worded, reviewable play no longer being a penalty. I'm not exactly sure how that. No, I mean, the situation was Mike Smith threw a challenge of the Falcons threw a challenge flag on an apparent fumble, found it was out of bounds.
Right.
And then they were challenging it, and instead of letting the booth automatically review the play, was penalized and it became unreviewable.
It was Schwartz of Detroit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I think that's ridiculous.
Well, no, I think Schwartz was a week later.
Yeah, it was a week later.
Yeah.
Walk over to him. Look, it's not a reviewable play. Hand the flag back to him. That's all you have to do.
Well, and there's so many plays that are reviewable but not reviewable. I mean, a coach has got enough stuff to worry about and then throw the flag thinking it's reviewable and then finding out it's not and then getting a flag for that just seems kind of silly.
Look, it's ridiculous. Okay, to me, you should be penalized for being out of challenges and throwing it. Now,
yes.
I mean, that's delayed. All right. But sitting there, and in the heat of the moment, throw the flag because you want them to review, and they go, you can't review that play. Okay, pick it up and hand it back to them. Move on.
And then
okay?
In the player safety rule side of things, you can't overload one side while rushing for a field goal.
Look, they've done everything they can to make sure nobody ever blocks a kick ever again. All right? Yeah, I'm serious. They've done everything they can.
Oh, I don't agree with this rule.
To make sure you can block a kick again. You know, the Kansas City Chiefs had a 6'8", 6'9" defensive end named Morris Stroud. And they would stand him at the goalpost on 50-plus yard field goals with the idea that he could jump up and block at the end. Not a lot. I mean, I don't want to block.
Explain to me the purpose of this one. And I know it's probably just to clean things up a little bit, but tight ends were allowed to wear the same jersey number as wide receivers, which are 80 to 89 and 10 to 19. But now they can only wear 40 to 49 in certain situations. They can only dip into the 40-49 range in certain situations, like if all the other numbers are taken. Doesn't that make it more confusing for the officials instead of easier? So in addition to wearing 80 to 89, tight ends and halfbacks will be able to join fullbacks in wearing 40 to 49. What's the purpose of that?
None.
Thank you. I thought I was missing something.
No purpose
in that. I think it confused the issue.
Cooley wore, 48 for years? 47? 47 for years of the Redskins?
I just think it confused the issue more than helped it.
Look, to me, any position player can wear 1 through 49 and 80 up, okay? 80 to 89. It doesn't matter. The only ones that you need to be restrictive on is to make sure offensive linemen wear 50 to 79.
Right. I can agree to that.
After that, who cares? I don't care if the dude on offensive end wears 5. Well, who cares? What's the difference? The whole purpose is to sell the jerseys in the gift shop.
And I do love the one big, I think this is the biggest rule change that affects the game, is the peel back block and the low block.
Oh, that has to go. That's a safety issue.
Yes.
That's when you are defining what a penalty is, penalties are safety things for the most part. I mean, personal foul. Anything that's a 15-yard penalty, any 15-yard penalty is a safety penalty. Every one of them.
Pass interference? Oh, that's not 15 yards in the NFL, though.
Well, in college, it's 15, but right. That's a safety thing, too, because, you know, you're going up with a receiver who's defenseless.
Darn, I thought I caught you on that one.
We'll come back with more News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on Pre-Auction Blowout. With so many great deals in bloom, you'll be thinking spring.
Like a 2009 Ford Econoline cargo van E150 with the lowest price promise. So call for a price. 888-536-8017. 2012 Ford Fiesta 5-door hatchback SE, $12,999. 2006 Lexus LS 430, $25,800. Like new 2011 Lincoln MKX four-wheel drive, $31,488. And a 2010 Ford Roush Mustang 427R, 5-speed, under 10,000 miles, just $34,995.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24/7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
NFL Films, which did so much to popularize the game, to, you know, give it that sense of show business, that sense of drama through the music and how they shot it and how they've gone about their business. I mean, NFL Films has set a standard nobody else can catch up to. I mean, the NBA Entertainment tries. They do. NBA Entertainment does a great job. A friend of mine works there. They do a great job. NHL tries. Baseball's really tried. But nobody does it the way the NFL does.
This week in baseball was probably the closest thing, but the footage wasn't the same.
No, it wasn't. And my late friend Warner Fusel was the narrator of it.
Love This Week in Baseball.
Yeah, and Warner, great guy. I miss Warner. He passed away about 10 months ago. Miss him very much.
Mel Allen?
Yeah, Mel Allen before Warner.
Yeah, that was always one of the things you look forward to when you went to the ballpark, is they'd play This Week in Baseball before the, or right between batting practice and the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt.
Matter of fact, I didn't even think they did it at minor league parks in the AAA.
And they very well may have. I don't know that. Phillies play tonight. Another opportunity.
Well, there's about 150 of them left.
Well, yeah, Cliff Lee tonight, don't they?
Yeah, it'll be his turn in the rotation, yeah.
Yeah, well, good.
That's optimism. There's optimism.
Now.
Because now he can go, if he can get into the seventh inning, then you don't have to worry about middle inning relief.
That's
wow.
Exactly right.
My day is much brighter now. Thank you.
You're welcome. You ready to return to referring to them as we?
Not yet.
No, brother.
Not yet.
Sad.
Let's see.
When did you stop being a fan?
When did I stop being a fan? Right. Is it Guy and Lee tonight?
I think so.
That's funny. Now that's funny.
Well, they're in a very tough division. There are very few weaknesses of the Washington Nationals. From strong starting pitching, excellent bullpen, great closer, to a team now with between Zimmerman and Harper and Worth that hits in the clutch, hits with some power. It's a good-looking team. And the remake of the Atlanta Braves, impressive with the Uptons. They're both on a tear. Freeman is a fabulous player. Hayward doesn't feel like he has to carry the load now, so he's able to relax. Excellent starting pitching, starting with Tim Hudson, and maybe the best closer in the game. That's a very tough division to be in. Mets fans, I apologize, I haven't mentioned your team, but there's a reality here.
Well, I think I figured out the problem.
And Mets fans, it's up to your team to change my reality in the next six. No, seriously.
No, I know.
It's up to them to change my reality in the next 6 weeks. In the next 6 weeks, if the Mets are hanging in there and doing well, then we will talk about the Mets doing really well and hanging in there. But right now, the chalk of the division, Atlanta and Washington, both really good.
Well, I think I figured out Ryan Howard's problem. He had a great spring. And, well, all right, maybe not a great spring. He had a solid spring, and he's been mediocre at best so far in April. Ever since he's traveled north of the Mason-Dixon to play home games, it's just everything's gone bad. If you tell him it's spring and you're still in Florida and now the weather tonight's going to be that way, maybe he'll be all right.
Well, you know, there's something to that, you know. There are many players that just when the weather gets warm, and you'd see this with a couple of pitchers, when the weather gets warm and they can loosen quicker, it makes a big difference.
Because let's face it, it wasn't that toasty warm in Atlanta when they opened up the season.
No, it was not. And the other part, too, is with that ankle, maybe he needs some warm weather. You know, where it, you know, in a cold spell, it takes a little long.
Well, hopefully he stayed out in the sun today. Warmed up.
You really are a fan.
He has left a small troop on base this year.
I understand. You really are a fan.
Yep. I'm a Phillies fan, and they're the worst kind. I admit it.
It's going to be a long summer, my man.
Long summer. Football's not that far away.
Well, the Blue White game isn't.